You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. This is Dan Keller, and this show was first aired December 22, 2023. Joined by four city councillors on December 19th, Cambridge Mayor Jan Leggett voted against a motion to investigate the plausibility of building affordable housing in raised buildings above city-owned parking lots. The motion, brought forward by Ward 7 Councillor Scott Hamilton, was supported by all delegates who presented at the meeting, including resident Matthew Rogers, the advocacy groups Citizens for Cambridge, For the City, and Waterloo Region, Yes in My Backyard, and as stated by Councillor Urshaw, the Cambridge Business Improvement Association was also on board. Despite strong support for the motion from delegates, and the voting support of Councillors Kimpson, Earnshaw, Roberts, and Hamilton, the motion was ultimately defeated, with Mayor Leggett suggesting churches should be converting their own parking lots for housing. Before calling the vote, Leggett stated that voting no does not mean that a councillor is against building affordable housing. Here are selected clips from the meeting, starting with Councillor Hamilton reading the motion.
The motion is exploring the potential for affordable housing units to be built above parking spaces in city-owned parking lots. And it's moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Kimpson. Recommendation, whereas ensuring residents have a supply of adequate and available affordable housing is of great importance to the City of Cambridge, the Region of Waterloo, and all jurisdictions and levels of government. Whereas the City of Cambridge, like other municipalities across Ontario and Canada, is in the throes of a crisis of a lack of affordable housing due to a variety of intersecting factors, including, but not limited to, the rising cost of goods and construction materials, disruptions in local and global supply chains, a lack of skilled labor, a rise of inflation and interest rates above historical averages, skyrocketing housing prices, and the importance of intensifying residential development within core areas with access to services to meet daily needs. Whereas both residents and an appropriate number of parking spaces for automobiles and bicycles are essential to the viability and livability of every urban core, and parking is required for many forms of housing. Whereas city parking lots cover wide areas of prime urban space in cities and their urban cores, which might be utilized for other purposes due to the proximity of many lots to businesses, restaurants, parks, and key areas where growth and density may be gently intensified. And whereas between 2021 and 2022, population growth in the region of Waterloo grew at twice the rate of the Canadian average, with rental prices rising 141%, placing 6,500 families on the waitlist for affordable housing, with 1,500 plus families in Cambridge, with an average wait time for housing at more than 7 years. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council requests staff investigate the possibility of building affordable housing units above city-owned parking lots by providing Council with a list of potential locations for an above parking lot affordable housing pilot project or prototype, thereby preserving important urban parking spaces in core areas while also creating structures containing affordable units above such parking lots, and that the property or properties provided as options for a prototype or pilot project remain owned by the City of Cambridge, and that since affordable housing sits under the jurisdiction of the Region of Waterloo, and because the City of Cambridge does not itself directly engage in the building of affordable housing, staff be directed to contact the Region of Waterloo to determine if such a project could fall under their affordable housing plan to develop up to 500 new homes per year, determine if there's any funding for a prototype or pilot project currently available, as well as determine if there are any current potential housing providers to carry out such a project, and that staff report back to Council with their findings, and further that a copy of this motion be sent to the Region of Waterloo.
Now, let's hear from the delegations, starting with Amanda Maxwell of resident group Citizens for Cambridge.
My name is Amanda Maxwell, and I am a lifelong resident of Cambridge. I have a degree in communications and urban studies and was a local realtor for 12 years. My husband is also a registered professional planner. I'm here today representing Citizens for Cambridge. Citizens for Cambridge is a group of citizens applying both thought and effort to better our community in progressive ways. We are not experts, but doing research and listening to experts is at the core of our volunteer work. We support this motion and encourage Council to support it. Affordable housing is a crisis that we are all well aware of. Solving it is a huge undertaking that must involve the public at large as well as all levels of government. In our area, affordable housing is primarily a regional responsibility. But the possibility of using open space above city-owned parking lots for affordable housing seems a terrific opportunity that should, at the very least, be investigated. We all know the three most important words in real estate: location, location, location. My own experience as a realtor certainly confirms this to be true. But we suggest that in the world of affordable housing, this is especially true. In our research activities, we met with affordable housing developers. We were wondering what their biggest challenges are and how we could help. We assumed that funding was their biggest challenge, but we quickly learned that finding locations to build affordable housing is their toughest challenge by far. We learned that locations for affordable housing developments are extremely hard to find. Acquiring a property often involves competing with commercial developers, an almost impossible task. As we understand it, the motion on the table only asks staff to investigate. Council is still in control of any subsequent future action. Lastly, we all have key questions such as impact on parking spaces, development costs, zoning, and support level from affordable developers. We can only get answers through investigation. Sending this idea for further study sends a message that Cambridge is looking for innovative and visionary solutions to tackle this huge challenge. Thank you for your attention.
And now, Pastor Daniel Fitchia of For the City, which is a group of churches and pastors working together to support progressive changes to Cambridge.
My name is Daniel Fiji. I pastor a local church here called Cambridge Community Church. A small little church meets out of the old Lincoln Road United Church. But I represent a group called For the City. For the City is a group of pastors and Christian nonprofits. And the point of our group is to be for the city. We try and think of ways in which we can bring the faith community together for the good of our city, really. And that's our hope. And so one, I mean, we talk about different things and we support different initiatives, but one that always gets everybody excited is affordable housing, because we all live here. We're all part of this. People in our churches live here. So this is a topic that's near and dear to our hearts for sure. And so everybody gets excited. And so last Thursday we had a meeting and this topic came up, this housing over parking. And I got to share a little bit from reading the articles and doing some research on my own. And you just got to share with the group, and everyone's rather excited about it. They think this is something that is something, you know, as a city, we should definitely be looking into and moving forward with. For those who are struggling to find housing, it's a wonderful idea. To bring business to our city, it's a wonderful idea. But the one topic that came up and has come up multiple times in our meetings is the fact that we are all losing young families out of our city. We have a small church. We lost five families in the last year and a half who all moved out of the city to find housing. Some of their jobs went online, and so they can work from anywhere. Two of them, their jobs travel a lot, didn't matter where they lived. One couple, the closest they could afford was Listowel, and they are driving into Cambridge every day for work, all the way from Listowel because they could not afford to live here. And so, you know, not only are we losing people from our churches, these are our friends. You know, for some of us, these are our families. And so it's a big concern to us, you know, that we are losing the next generation of kids, you know, who will be in our schools, people who, you know, who pay taxes and live here and are part of our city and what makes it vibrant. And they're moving away just because they can't afford to be here. Lost two neighbors to the East Coast during the last year and a half during COVID as well for the same reason. And so this is something which I think is an amazing opportunity for our city to look into and to make it what I call affordable housing, because market value is not affordable. All of the five families and the couples who left our church to move away, they all work. Both spouses worked, and they still couldn't afford to live here. These are not people who are poor. These are not people who are struggling. They just do not make enough money to afford to live in this city. And so that's a real concern for us, especially moving forward as we see the next generation moving out due to affordability. And so as a group, I speak for, I mean, our email list is about 70 different people. And so, you know, it's a wide swath of our city, and so representing them, we would just love and appreciate the movement on this and looking into this and developing this idea, as we think it's really key to the future of this city.
Lynn Intini from Waterloo Region YIMBY also discussed the need for innovative projects that may result if the motion was accepted.
On behalf of Waterloo Region, yes, in my backyard, I'm here to express our enthusiasm for affordable housing over city-owned parking lots. Every time the subject of housing over parking comes up, there is excitement and wondering how much longer it will take for a municipality to take the initiative to facilitate affordable housing, and which municipality will prove this to be the sensible strategy we're convinced it can be. Organizations dedicated to creating housing, which will remain below market rate in the long term, have repeatedly cited that land, as Amanda has said, is a bigger barrier than price, both finding the land and the ability to acquire it in areas that would serve the people that they work with. Additional excitement comes from the environmental aspects involved in housing over parking, making efficient use of land, increasing density in areas already served by municipal infrastructure, walkable cities in areas with established public transit. This concept has so much potential without any negative impact on green space or displacement of existing housing, nor does it have any substantial impact on the existing parking. This is, of course, only one potential piece to solving a complex housing crisis, but with so many practical, legal, legislative, and financial constraints on constructing any housing, let alone meeting the need for affordable and below market rent, this promises to be affordable to the city and within the scope of things that Cambridge can do to facilitate rent-controlled housing, which will remain attainable in the long term. WRUMB is looking forward to seeing what can be created from this idea. We have high hopes that this could be a notable project, which will prove the viability of housing over parking as a practical and affordable strategy for municipalities to facilitate the efforts of affordable housing providers. And we hope it could possibly inspire many other projects like it across North America.
A presentation from local small-scale innovative builder Gene Meredith was several planning steps ahead of the city. Gene praised the work of Waterloo Region YIMBY and told councillors about the work being done at the University of Waterloo on innovative building. While councillors asked Gene several questions and a good discussion took place, it was all out of the scope of the actual motion on the table. Next up was resident Matthew Rogers, who identified as one of the young people the council had earlier noted were leaving the city due to the growing cost of living.
As touched on earlier, we're having a little trouble retaining our young people, so I want to tell you a little story as it relates to this motion. At the age of 13, I made the conscious decision to essentially sacrifice my social life in the name of career advancement and the pursuit of the almighty dollar. I was sold a bill of goods that the only way to remain financially stable was to buy a home as soon as possible, which I still believe to be a fairly accurate sentiment. But when I was told that, the average price of a single detached home in Cambridge was still under $400,000. In 2023, as of this past Friday, only two single detached homes have sold below $400,000 in the entire region of Waterloo. The average price today stands over $800,000. When I graduate university in 2.5 years, I can expect to make upwards of $90,000 a year, which is pretty good. But at a 5.5% interest rate, this puts my maximum home affordability just over $410,000. And that assumes I, a then 23-year-old, leaves university with no student debt and over $80,000 in my pocket for a down payment. Here's the thing. For me, that's not out of the question. Because I made that decision nearly 8 years ago, I will graduate with zero debt and a self-established nest egg of anywhere between $70,000 and $90,000. But I made that choice, and my social life and mental health have paid a staggering price at what isn't even a guaranteed shot at home ownership in the city I grew up in. Most reasonable teenagers and 20-somethings don't make the same choice I did when given the option, and nor should they be expected to. I stand here not as someone who will ever necessarily have to have the need to occupy the housing that could be made possible under this motion, but as someone advocating for the tens of thousands of other young people who are out there doing what I've been doing for the better part of this past decade, working terrible jobs for a subpar paycheck with the hopes that it might be enough for them to get within reach of home ownership before their 40th birthday. I'm not asking you to approve this motion. For everyone's sake, I stand here begging you to please approve this motion and get the wheels moving on a policy that can actually make a meaningful difference to so many.
After Councillor Hamilton thanked Rogers for the courage of speaking up about his situation, the motion was quickly called for final debate. Hamilton spoke to the motion first.
And this is what makes the motion unique. We have housing in Cambridge already that is elevated above the ground level. We have it in Galt because of the bedrock. We know we can't dig down. That increases cost tremendously. So we have that new building, for example, at George Street in St. Andrews. It's up on stilts. It's up on legs. You go up to Forbes Park in Hespler, same thing. There are buildings there. They're on stilts. They're on legs. Parking is underneath them. So what makes this unique is that the city, the taxpayer, could retain ownership of the land. So our taxpayers aren't giving anything away. But the point is to say to a nonprofit housing developer, hey, $1 a year for maybe 50 years, maybe 70 years. I'm not sure what's most appropriate. I hope we can figure that out. But it's essentially free land to a nonprofit developer to build homes that people are in desperate need of. So what that does is hopefully incentivize people to actually come and build homes that people can actually afford because the cost of the land is reduced tremendously. So instead of spending millions on an urban plot of land, you're spending $1 a year. And the city retains control over who owns that land and what type of units go in there. And I want to be clear, I'm not saying turn every city parking lot into housing. That's not the intention of this motion. I'm sure we all know some lots that likely wouldn't work. They're rammed all day full of cars. However, I think in every city core, there are lots which I feel could work. There are lots downtown which are full all day. I don't think those would pass muster. I don't think staff would recommend them. There are some lots nearby which are empty, or I'd say 70% of their existence, especially at night when people drive in and leave. So those are the exact plots of land where some professors at the University of Waterloo who study planning say, if an alien were to come down and look at our cities, why is it in the best parts of our cities where we need people living, where we need people walking to businesses, where we need entertainment, why are they giant empty swaths of concrete? What some residents have described to me as a concrete wasteland. So the impetus of this motion is to turn what some call that concrete wasteland to look into it. And this is not saying put shovels in the ground. I'm not saying litter every city core with parking lots. It's just to get the ball rolling to see if this idea is feasible and possible. And I personally feel that it is, but I think it needs more study. And the only way to ensure that we get the information required as to whether or not we move forward with it is to proceed to that next step, is to contact the region, is to speak to affordable housing developers about it, and to get the answers we need to see if it's worth proceeding. But I feel it is. The amount of support so far has been tremendous, I think. Downtown Cambridge BIA is supportive. We have their notes in our addendum. Beyond Housing, Dan Dredger, the notes are in the addendum today. He said this is a low-risk shot on something that could potentially be a game-changer. Dr. Brian Desette, he is Canada's research chair in urban planning. And again, he sent this to us in our council package. And I quote, Dr. Desette writes, this kind of approach is necessary if cities are going to play meaningful roles in helping to create the right kind of supply, not just add to the overall numbers. If Cambridge can show how this can work on the site of one parking lot, it can easily be scaled up to become a model that will be looked to as a national leader for developing genuinely affordable housing. And we have Philip Mills, Habitat for Humanity, who sent his support today as well. So the support is there. The question is, will it work? And the only way we're going to get answers to that is if we proceed to the next level and actually check it out. We don't just talk about it, we take action to investigate it. So my vision of Cambridge is that we are innovative, we are creative, we can think outside the box to look at new solutions to old problems, because that's the only way to change them. Even after our budget deliberations today, I went down on Main Street to do Christmas shopping, and shopkeepers were genuinely excited. Like, hey, that's a great idea. We could use more people down here, because the more people we have walking, the more vibrant it is, the less crime we have, the better our businesses do. So it's an idea that most people, I think, are fairly interested in, because the concrete wasteland isn't exactly a gorgeous piece of art that we're going to put on a postcard to advertise our city. It's a piece of prime urban space that we can reutilize, or at least investigate the possibility of reutilizing. So this is just the exploration of a concept. That's what I would like us to move forward with today, just to see if it's viable. And maybe it's not, and if it's not, we'll know. But the only way we know is if we give it a try. Dan Dredger wrote this from Beyond Homes in his letter to us, but I'm going to quote him and through him the great Wayne Gretzky. We miss 100% of the shot we don't take. So this is a low-risk shot that I think is very much worth taking.
Then Ward 4 Councillor Ross Earnshaw added some points to the discussion, noting support from the Cambridge BIA and calling for the city itself to take action to address problems around affordable housing, instead of waiting on for-profit developers to build the units.
Every time a development proposal comes before us, one or another of us around the horseshoe asks about whether there will be affordable housing. And in almost every case, we get a negative response. Sometimes it's forthright, and the person who's representing the developer just says no. But more often than not, it's kind of an evasive prevarication, which leaves us with the understanding that it is, in fact, a negative response. And as Councillor Hamilton has said, this city, being a second-tier municipality, has very few levers to pull that can assist with the crisis of affordable housing. This is, as he says, a low-risk proposition. It's meant to cause an investigation to take place, to have a report back, and to consider whether some lands can be provided at negligible cost to affordable housing providers. It's a low-risk thing, and if we don't do something like this, we're going to continue to have developers come before us. We're going to continue to ask them if they have affordable housing units in their projects. And because they operate on a for-profit basis and charge market rents and market costs, we're going to get those negative answers every time.
Ward 5 Councillor Sherry Roberts then applauded the motion, calling it innovative, but was followed by Councillor Ermeta, who suggested affordable housing be built away from the city center where land is more affordable and more units could be built for the same amount of money. Ward 2 Councillor Mike Devine then noted how he had mixed emotions about the project, noting that the parking lots downtown were quite often busy, and building above the parking lots will lead to the loss of some parking spaces.
There's a lot of issues here, and it's not just a matter of putting something up in the parking lot. That parking lot is going to be torn up. There have to be pillars put in, et cetera, et cetera. It's not, I mean, apparently our thought process is there's no cost to the land. However, you're going to be rebuilding a parking lot if you're going to be putting something over it. It's not as cut and dried as we think.
Ward 1 Councillor Helen Trury then brought up questions about who would pay for the project and how it would be decided who would live there. While these were beyond the scope of the motion, she then introduced what she called the elephant of population growth.
And let's not forget the elephant in the room. The more people that come to the region, we will always have an issue of affordable housing. So I'm not sure I can support it.
Councillor Hamilton responded to some of Devine and Shuri's concerns, noting that the motion represents the initial stages of the project, and their concerns would become relevant in actual planning stages.
And the reality is, even though lots of parking lots are full, lots of them aren't. There are parking lots in the core, which at least have 70% capacity during the day. They drop down to maybe 30% capacity or less at night. So the nature of these units, from my understanding, is, of course, you're going to lose a few spots because you're going to have to put support pillars up, you're going to put an entrance, a fire escape. You'll have residents in those buildings that do have cars, right? Granted, they're going to leave throughout the day, most likely to go to work, so those spots do free up. But that is taken into consideration. And with that, the goal is you have a full parking lot during the day, and imagine the benefits you get from that. We're always looking for ways to get more people into our cores, to make it more walkable, to improve businesses, to improve nightlife. So there's going to be problems with everything we bring to this table. Can you problem solve them to a level where it can work? And if you can create something new and it can spread. If not, it dies, but at least you tried.
Finally, Ward 3 Councillor Corey Kimpson announced her support for the project while also noting the importance of community partners to work on affordable housing projects with the city and on their own lands as well. With the discussion over and before the project was put to a vote, Mayor Leggett proclaimed she would not support the project, leaving the responsibility to community partners to take on affordable housing.
Every member of this council does support providers of affordable housing and their roles. What we may not agree on with it is to what extent and what manner of support. This is being packaged as public lands being the only option for a project of this type when it would be better served on private lands of churches or YWCAs who are in that business. You people need to be looking at doing something like this as a group. This is not the best use of any valuable downtown real estate in the public realm. We either want our downtowns to thrive and flourish to highest level, or we choose a different path. Parking lots have always been an integral part of the needs of those businesses. By giving away air rights, we must understand that not all parking spaces will be retained with all the pillar supports, walls, mechanicals needed, ingress and egress. We will lose a lot of the parking spots. These are not surplus lands. These are in-use parking lots. I see our parking lots full on some days, and there are days when I can't get a spot and must go around and around and around or wait for other people to pull out.
The motion was then put to a vote.
Starting voting and closing voting, and that motion is defeated 5-4.
You have been listening to audio from the December 19th meeting of the Council for the City of Cambridge, where a motion to investigate building affordable housing in raised units above city parking lots was debated. In the end, Mayor Leggett, along with Councillors Shuri, Devine, Cooper, and Ermeta, all voted against the motion, which was defeated 5-4. This is Dan Keller of CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in.